right, everybody, welcome to Four Dudes in America. We're missing two individuals, Jaycion and J5, but we gonna still roll with it, kick it off. I'm Myron. We got something nice in store for y'all. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
What up, everybody? This is Terrell. Appreciate y'all tapping in with us once again. We got something good for y'all.
Hey, it's the one and only Lamont, the originator, the innovator, the father. The one that get everything together, Lamont. All right, Myra, kick us off. Let's go. What you got?
All right, man. We're going to hit the world of sports. So we're going to let Terrell. Terrell, what's going on in the world of sports? How the playoffs looking?
Oh, man. To me, personally, it's been a good one. I kind of like when the unexpected teams get in there and do something. You know, so you got Atlanta. Man, they're representing that Dirty South right now hard. They coming out. They really been stepping up, man. That boy Trae Young is coming out, showing, putting the world on notice. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy. A lot of people don't know, man. This is not it's nothing that he hasn't been doing all year. He's just now doing it on a bigger stage in front of everybody. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a long series. You know, Milwaukee gonna have to come with it, man. They too up and down. Milwaukee has the more talented team, but I think that Atlanta is just almost like a Cinderella team in NCAA. But they hungry. Them boys is young. They not afraid and they hungry.
Yeah.
And then you got them Phoenix Suns, man. That's been crazy. You know, as y'all know, I live out here in Phoenix, man, and this is unprecedented. A lot of people haven't felt this energy. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the people that's out here was kids back when the last time the Suns was in the finals with Barkley and KJ and Marley and them. So they don't really, you know that feeling and that energy. But I think they got a really good shot. I think if they win tonight?
Yeah, tonight.
Yep.
If they win tonight, I think it's a wrap. I think if they win tonight, I think that the Clippers will get the next game, but then I think Phoenix will come back and close them out. They're not beating Phoenix four games in a row.
I don't see that happening either. But the Valley is showing up. Well, the Valley's showing up. The Valley is showing out over there. But I want to talk about this young lady that went to UCLA, the track star. I want to pronounce her name correctly. I want to say it's I'm not going to say her name, but all
she
I know
went
is
to, hold on, she went to where?
She went to USC.
About Shakara Richardson?
Shakara Richardson.
Yeah, she's the truth.
Is that the right college, or was UCLA?
Which one? Honestly, I don't know what school she went to, but I know she's from Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, she's from Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
This baby here?
Yeah, she cold.
She cold. She a mix of Flo Jo. Joe, she took off. I was looking at the meets the other day.
Yep.
And man, that red hair and the blue hair, she took off. I'm talking about. She was looking at the clock.
She mean it. Like she not playing no games.
Right.
At all.
She ran to her grandma after she won.
Man. Bro, she took off. I told her they put some fire in her shoes and put another jacket on the fire. She took off.
She has a lot of confidence. She said she knew she was going to win. She walked the place knowing she was going to win.
Yeah.
I love that. The media personality was like, oh, she seems to have a chip on her shoulder. She has to humble herself. Why is it when black women show confidence?
Right.
You gotta, it was crazy.
No, that's. But see, I think what the shift in culture is, especially with the younger generation, like you can't pull that they can't pull that mess now. Like a lot, you know. I say we as in the people, we woke, but I really give the credit to this younger generation.
Yeah,
you know, this younger generation is on it, man. Like, so you can't just say stuff like that and then, you know, it just go above our heads like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? We see what y'all trying to do.
And listen here. That baby from, she from Dallas, Texas, you say?
Yep.
All of Dallas, Texas coming out through her personality. She ain't going at all. At all.
Listen, and ain't nothing wrong with it.
I love it. Then we have, you know, the tennis. You know, Coco Gauff, she just lost in the second round of the French, is the Women's title, the French Open, one of them tournaments. She just lost. Coco Gauff, the youngest black young girl that's playing, Naomi. She withdrew from the tournament as well. I think that's about it. Soccer.
I think she is going to play in the Olympics, correct?
She's going to play the Olympics.
And the Olympics told her that she does not have to do any press.
Okay. Also, what else going on? The Olympic, the NBA Olympic teams has been, the roster has been official for the soccer, women's soccer has been official. The roster has been official. What else?
Steph said he not doing it.
Yeah, and James Harden withdrew from the roster. They got a pretty tight roster. The ladies, on the ladies side, their rosters are all set. So sports is looking pretty good, you know. Football is turning the corner. Training camp about to start with football. So sports is really looking good, but I just can't wait to see the rest of these tournaments, and I want to see that girl take off. I just want to see that. I can't wait till
My favorite Olympic events is track and field, and I like track and field and gymnastics. I like watching those.
Man, I like the hurdles because I'm like, man, how your legs keep jumping?
And man, that's crazy.
Like, you got two steps between each hurdle. Like, how you keep doing it? Like, God made y'all legs do that? You know, I'm just saying, like, how do you, and then, like, the long jump,
you know what, that's true. Like, I like you know me, I'm a basketball guy. I feel like I know basketball down to a science, but
do you know it better than mine?
Oh yeah that's light work.
I'm gonna let you have it because we're on a podcast, but that'll be offline.
but I get intrigued by other sports. Like I like talking to people that are really skilled and talented and knowledgeable in other sports. And so, like, you know, like you said, like the long jump or gymnastics, like what it takes to actually be great at that particular sport, you know, it intrigues me.
Right. So we can move forward and transition to another topic. Mike, what else you got for us to talk about today, man?
All right, man. So, T-Pain, the music singer, rapper, recently he's in an upcoming Netflix, it's like a little series called This Is Pop, where it interviews different pop artists and the impact they had on, you know, the music industry and their life and things they went through. T-Pain recently revealed that he was on a flight first class and Usher was on a flight first class. And so he said he was asleep, and then the flight attendant came to him and was like, Usher's in the back, he would like to speak with you. And T-Pain was like, oh, okay, you know, Usher my homie. So he said he went back there and spoke to him. And he said when he got back there, Usher was like, hey man, what's up, how you doing? And he was like, I'm good, what's going on? And Usher was like, hey man, I gotta tell you something, man. He was like, what is it? He was like, you kind of fucked up music. And T-Pain let out a nervous chuckle, but he realized that Usher wasn't playing around. He was like, man, he was like, I didn't understand. And he was like, I thought he was joking at first, but then he was like, yeah, man, you really fucked up music for real singers. And he said from that point on, it kind of messed up his mental health because he said he was in a deep depression for like about 3 to 4 years after that. So my question to you guys, like, how powerful is the tongue from some people? Like, he said he looked up to Usher, and when he told him that he fucked up music, it kind of messed them up. What y'all think about that?
Well,
man, go ahead, Lamont.
Well, my take on it is that how could you mess up something that T-Pain can sing without the auto-tunes, just to let everybody know he can sing very well without the auto-tunes.
Actually, very well,
Yeah, so I think at that point, I don't think it was rightful for Usher to say that because he transcended music, you know what I'm saying? If you look at his chart, you look at his portfolio and what he has done, he created nothing but hits, you know what I'm saying? So if Usher was speaking from... I think Usher was speaking from a personal place. I think he was speaking from... I think he was kind of feeling selfish, if you ask me, because, you know, Usher have a huge body of work, which he has an outstanding portfolio as well. But I just think that I think Usher spoke out of envy, if to say the least. I don't think that he messed up music. I think he transcended music. I think that he put another element to music. I think that he, in his time, T-Pain was what it was. Like, you couldn't listen to the radio without a T-Pain track or T-Pain, something associated with T-Pain, a feature. And his features was off the chain. So I just don't think that, I think Usher at that time probably was, Usher still was stuck in his confession stage. I think he needed to confess because his heart was hurt.
my take on that is I can understand where Usher was coming from. You gotta take into context what he said. He said he didn't say you messed up music. He said you messed up music for real singers.
Yeah.
And so what he meant by that is, like, now people who don't have can't sing their way out of a wet paper bag can just throw an auto tune on and now they got a hit record, you know. And so I think he meant that the success of what T-Pain was doing, because T-Pain, I agree with Mont, like, T-Pain, if you think back to that era, because I remember that time, man. I think that I was living in, that's when I had moved to Texas, and, you know, T-Pain was doing, he was going on fire. And so because of the success of that, for a real singer, you know, like, it kind of watered down or overpopulated the singing or what people value what qualified as singing, right? You know what I'm saying? So, like, whereas, like, Usher probably put in a lot of work, you know, in his younger years to get his voice and master his craft, you got another person that just, you know, popped up on the internet, threw an auto-tune on and got a hit record.
Okay, quick question. Do you think the Isley brother would have went to the Temptations and said, man, y'all missed the music because y'all ain't singing?
Nope.
No. So listen, I don't disagree with your opinion. I don't think he should have said that to him. Or I think the way, I don't know, I guess if it was me, I would have delivered it a little better and put more context in it. But because I don't think Usher's intention was to really set T-Pain in a depression, but because he didn't handle it tactfully, and because of the value and the honor that T-Pain put on Usher, that's the reason why I hurt him so much.
I agree with that.
You know, so, like, Usher should have probably, he should have, you know, prefaced his comment a little better than that. Like, hey, man, you know, I see what you're doing. You know, congratulations for your success with the auto tune and stuff. But this is my opinion on this. It made it hard for real singers like me and my, you know, and other singers, because now, you know, like, and T-Pain could have digested it a lot better.
Right. But then auto tune's been around for a long time though.
Right.
You got Computer Love, right?
T-Pain as the face of it, though.
But Computer Love came out. The song Computer Love was straight auto-tune.
Right. So,
So if you do that, and then, but he took that and mastered it. So you can't correct. Get mad at the fact that he took this certain sound and mastered it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I agree. I just think that, but I also, I think that his thought process on it is that you just taint it, like people, the average listener is now can't differentiate what a real, what real singing is.
Okay.
Like, so- like I remember kind of a story my pastor used to, you know, he mentioned from time to time. He said, I think one of his uncles or his cousin or something like that, he wanted to get his son a drum set, right? Or wanted to get the kid a drum set. And the uncle told the mom, well, hey, if you give him a drum set, don't give him a cheap one. Buy him a really good drum set. Because if you buy him a cheap one, you're gonna ruin his ear. You're gonna ruin his ear, and he won't be able to, he won't understand what a real drum set sounds like a good drum set sounds like. You're gonna ruin his ear, so don't buy him a cheap one. Buy him a really nice one. And so I think along those lines is what Usher was kind of talking about.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. Do it the old school way. Both of y'all go a cappella. People know real singers. Even when you do these award shows, they not singing live. They sing over a track. You know what I'm saying? They not singing live. They not singing their music. Some of these shows and stuff like that, when they perform, they not singing live. You know, they not, you know what yeah. I mean? You gotta look at that. So at the end of the day, I think that Usher just misspoke. I think you should have been more congratulatory toward them. I think you should have had a different approach. And with T-Pain, they're just like, you know what I'm saying? If you look up to your idol come to say you ain't shit. Or Michael Jordan coming to Kobe and say, man, you ain't nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so that was very, very, that was very unprofessional, Usher, in my opinion. But however,
and now, also, what do y'all think about, you know, giving credit to T-Pain for even having the courage to even come out and mention that story like that?
Much kudos to him.
Agree, because I know he sat with that for a while. But I want to know, did Usher tell him this before confessions or after? Because if he said it after, he needs to check himself for real. Because confessions with Diamond, dude, you sitting on top of the world and you worried about T-Pain?
Yeah, for sure.
Moving on, man. You know,
all right.
Usher need to take his Usher bucks and go sit at his ass.
Oh, yeah, them Usher dollars at the strip club.
Oh, Usher bucks.
All right, y'all. So, tomorrow, is what, June 25th? It is sentencing day for Derek Chauvin.
Tomorrow, oh, is it?
Yep. Chauvin, 45, is facing a maximum of 40 years in jail after he was convicted of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison said he was satisfied to see Chauvin convicted, but he added this: I will admit, I felt a little bad for the defendant. He's a human. He said the state never wanted revenge against Derek Chauvin. We just wanted justice. So what do y'all think about that? And a little background, he used to be a public defender. So he kind of is, you know, public defenders usually feel a little empathy and sympathy towards their clients. And I think that's where he's coming from. But what y'all think about him saying that?
Well, that's nothing wrong with that statement. To me, that's nothing wrong with it, because at the end of the day, he's still a human. But justice, and need to be served. So as far as having empathy a little bit, yeah, okay. But at the end of the day, look, he did something that was very, very distasteful, disheartening.
He did something that was very, very unhuman-like.
Yeah. So it's an unhuman... Hey, that too. So I just think that, yeah, you can have a little empathy for him, but... he got his just due. And that's my opinion on it.
What you think, Terrell?
I mean, if he feels that way, every client that gets sentenced, then I'm okay with that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's just his natural, like, he just naturally have a heart and don't want to really see people have, you know, have to go through a long sentence like that, everybody, then okay, that's fine.
Right.
But, you know, like, what makes him different from, you know, the last person you sent to jail?
Yeah. Why you feel so much regards to him when you
right.
I just think that it's more public now that he has the platform to really speak on his empathy towards this guy. So I think the platform is bigger, and I think that he has the, you know, he can say that, but it, you know, being a public feeling, you can't really publicize how you feel about each client you have. So with this being a high profile case, I think that was, you know, he had the opportunity to say that.
Well, then, I mean, but now does that make it right just because, you know, I mean, just because it's high profile now? Like, you probably shouldn't have said that. Maybe you feel that way, but, you know, are you taking advantage of the spotlight?
Well, yeah. That's a good question. You know, it's a good question that we don't have answers to, but yeah, I think that, yeah, like I just stated, he can go before the TIT television with every other client he had, in regards to, you know, having empathy, showing empathy for his clients before Chauvin. So, you know, that is what it is. Like, I don't, you know, we can't determine whether or not he had the same empathy pattern for each one of his, when he was a public defender, the client that he represented. So, if he used this platform to really show what type of person he is, you know, what type of human he is or whatever, but hey, we don't know.
No, I kind of agree with Terrell. He probably could have felt that way, but I don't think he should have voiced it, because now it looks like he put together this all-star team for the prosecution, and now you're worried about his sentencing after what he did and how he affected the community. By him doing that, he not only killed George Floyd, but he killed an entire community. People was rioting, people turning up. So he caused a lot of damage. I don't think he could have voiced that publicly.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, even if you felt that way, I mean, just everything ain't, you know. I mean, cause think about I don't, you know, think about how those comments would affect George Floyd's people.
Yeah.
You know, his daughter. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, I don't. Maybe he don't need. That's not even really a concern of his, but yeah. Well, I mean, you know, ain't nobody perfect. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
All
right, y'all. So this past weekend was Juneteenth celebration, and of course, you know, we've been seeing celebrations of Juneteenth our whole life. I've been going to it since I was young in Minneapolis, but it's now an official federal holiday. The House and the Senate passed it to make it official from here. Well, I guess starting next year. Some companies observed it this year, but a lot more will observe it officially next year. And a little background for those listening who don't really know what Juneteenth is. Juneteenth, in 1863, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. He officially outlawed slavery in Texas and all other states of the original Confederacy. But there were some remote parts of many places that did not hear about the end because they relied upon Confederate military soldiers to get the word out, and a lot of people did not hear about it. So after the Emancipation Proclamation, a lot more people were in slavery for officially like two more years until chattel slavery was abolished nationwide on December 6, 1865 with the 13th Amendment. So yeah, that's a little bit of background about that. What y'all think about?
Okay, you historian. Good fact, buddy. I like that. You know, I like that, Mar. I made you the moderator for a reason, boy. You're doing your job. you doing your job. But I'm no longer Will. Juneteenth, man, you just got to celebrate it. You know, you got to celebrate it, because I think that in the wake of George Floyd and in the wake of all that happened to inside the Black community with the violence, with the, you know what I'm saying, the uncertainties of a lot of things, I think that this allow us to see, it allows this, for this day to be manifest, to be observed, you know what I'm saying? So I just think that it's a good thing. I think that that's something we'll be celebrating for years to come. I think the educated behind it, you know, just like they do for the, you know, the 4th of July, they'll put on something about Independence Day. They'll flood this, the PBS station with America and all this stuff. They need to flood the TV station with 18, you know, with their Emancipation Proclamation, you know, through our literature, through our information surrounding it, so we can be, you know, more people can be informed about, you know, Juneteenth and have that, you know, put it in schools. Make it a mandatory that you learn about Juneteenth, because it's mandatory you learn about the 4th of July, Independence Day. You learn about all that stuff. So make sure that's a staple inside the schools too as well.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
All right, y'all. So Nick Cannon, I don't know if y'all heard, but Nick Cannon is like, he putting his seed everywhere. Nick Cannon had about 4 kids within a week with like 5 different women. So,
are you serious?
I'm serious. Okay, so listen. So this Nick Cannon, he's on number 7 or 8. He's about to have his 8th kid. He said that he went to the hospital and they diagnosed him with something a couple years ago, and he has to continue going back to. And he said this last time was really scary for him because he had blood clots in his lungs, and they don't think he's going to be able to live much longer with the disease he has. I don't know what it is, so he said that made him like, look, I'm not going to be here forever, and he wanted to make kids everywhere. So he got a lot of kids. He's just making them left to right now because he feel like he's about to die. So what y'all think about that?
Man, is this fake news?
No, this is for real. Seriously, this is real.
You sure it is real? I gotta call Nick. Hey Nick, I know you got a lot of money. Hey Nick. You're creating the best, Nick. You're creating the best. So that is kind of scary, but I can't speak on that, man. But him spreading his seeds. The Bible do say be fruitful and multiply, but I don't know, he said be multiplied with multiple women. But hey, he said be fruitful.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, his reasoning, I guess, you know, everybody has their own reasoning behind what they do, you know, and it's easy to judge from the outside looking in. But, you know, if that's his, in his mind, you know, how he concocted, this is what he want to do, and this is, you know, then, hey, you know, more power to him. Hopefully he be blessed. But, I mean, I guess, you know, we have different beliefs, right? Like, have different spiritual beliefs. I don't know what, you know, what religion he's of, but whatever he believes, you know, if it doesn't compromise his morals and integrity and what he believes, then he got to go for it. I mean, he definitely has, you know, enough. He's wealthy enough to take care of 10, 15 kids. You know, so as long as he ain't making kids that's, you know, gonna be out here that's starving and ain't gonna be well taken care of, then I guess he ain't breaking no laws.
Well, let me tell you something. The moral compass and his belief is out the window.
I agree. That's his business. That's what he wanna do. But I think it's kind of, I don't know. I think it's kind of ill-informed on his part, because he's like, I'm about to die, so let me have all these kids. And so you're going to leave your kids a bunch of money, but they're going to still be missing a hole in their heart because their dad's not here. I don't think he's looking at it like that. I think he's looking at it that money will heal them and take care of them for the rest of their life, which may be true. They might have schooling and everything paid for, but they won't have their dad. And I think that's the part that he's not understanding, and that is very unfortunate. And the woman who's allowing him to do it too.
Yeah. Well, listen. Hey, yo, Nick. Hey, Nick. Let me borrow a couple dollars to get you for the checkout.
Hey, he say about to check out, huh?
Hey,
Nick about to check out.
They say that's what Nick say. He think he about to check out, but I don't think Nick going nowhere, man. Because I think he had a scare a couple of years ago. I mean, a couple of years ago, he had a scare with some type of disease he was dealing with. I think it's, I don't know if it's the same disease.
It's the same one.
Yeah, and he's still here, and he's managed. Nick gonna be all right. Nick a strong
guy. So now Nick gonna be 80 years old with 80 kids, paying $1 million in child support a month because he ain't leaving.
Guess what? He owned Nickelodeon too. So yeah. Leave him alone.
Yeah, leave him alone.
And leave him alone.
All right. So, all right. We got a question, y'all. So
go ahead. Get a question.
Lack of chemistry or intimacy kill a relationship? And we want to know: is chemistry important in a relationship or compatibility?
Well, okay, right.
Hold on. So who posed these questions first of all? Who sent these questions?
All right, let me see. Let me check. All right, this is Tanisha Sanders from, where's she from? Florida.
All right, thanks Tanisha for the outstanding question. So repost that question for me.
I asked the second one, but the first one, she said, can the lack of chemistry or intimacy kill a relationship? Let's go with that one first.
So,
you gonna go first, Mark?
Yeah, because you talk pretty long. So let me get my point out.
that's because I got to clean up all the wrong information you been spraying out there.
Right, hey man, that's a question. So it's my opinion. So it's no wrong. It's my opinion, right? So does the lack of, say it again. I want to make sure I answer it correctly.
Can the lack of chemistry or intimacy kill a relationship?
Absolutely. Before even the intimacy start, the intimacy part start, you have to be compatible. You guys got to be some kind of way, like, interested in one another. You know what I'm saying? You got to feel each other. Because if you're not feeling each other, the intimacy part is not going to really be there, unless that was your intentions when you first start talking. You know what I'm saying? So, it's all about your intent when you first go in, but in all actuality, you need to have some, you got to be compatible in some type of way in order for the next portion to click. Because I think they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And I think that, I think you just can't have one without the other. I think that before the intimacy thing starts, you need to be compatible. Y'all need to find y'all groove. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to be with this person, if you're going to be in a relationship, you need to find a groove. You just can't say, okay, we're just going to have sex. That's the only thing you have in common. So after you be intimate, then what y'all got?
I agree. Terrell, before you answer, let me say what, let me give some brief definition on examples of compatibility and chemistry so we know where we could come from. So areas of compatibility is like life priorities, preferences, fundamental beliefs, values, and like, do you guys like the same type of food? That's compatibility.
Compatibility, right, correct.
Chemistry is more like the way your partner laughs at your jokes, the questions they ask you about your day, the way they hold each other in bed, the way they smell, things like that.
Yeah.
So I think to the answer to her question is yes, absolutely, it can kill a relationship. I won't go with the compatibility. I will go with the chemistry because that's what she asked. Shout out to Tiffany from Miami. We appreciate you asking a great, great question. If you got that chemistry and you like she know when he come home, he liked the way he liked this perfume. He liked the way that smell, or he loved when I
we couldn't really get your stance on compatibility. Just, you know what I'm saying, just give us a little bit, you know, quickly.
Yeah. So I just, I was saying, I wasn't going to touch on compatibility. I was just going to touch on chemistry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And I just think that if with it needs to be built upon, like you may be able to have chemistry with somebody, like natural chemistry, like you first meet somebody and y'all just click. But in order to sustain a relationship, you got to build upon chemistry.
Thanks, brother. Man, that's pretty good.
You got it, brother. Anytime, brother.
Yeah. Hey, you got a little sense.
Just a little bit.
But what's the next question, Murray?
All right, so yeah, I asked this. Which one do you guys think is more important in a relationship, and why? Because like, is it compatibility or is it chemistry? Like, do you have to have everything compatible with your spouse, or do you think chemistry is more important?
I think chemistry is more important, man. It's the vibe. The chemistry got to be there. You know what I'm saying? Compatibility is good. Okay, she like what I like. All right, cool. But what if, you know, because like you change in a relationship. Yeah. The stuff changes. So, all right, we may was compatible in this area when we first started, but now our compatibility is shifting. So right. We need that chemistry. So I think chemistry is the most important, because I think, like you said, when you define chemistry, that's what's gonna make it work. You know what I'm saying? When, you know, like you come in and she got this on, you got that on, the chemistry, and you laughing my jokes and we doing this, we doing that. So if the chemistry is off, I think that plays a part with the compatibility, it plays a part with the intimacy, it plays a part with all that.
That's my opinion. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going, where you finished off at, Mana. I think that they're kind of intertwined.
Yeah.
A little bit. I do think that compatibility is maybe more sustainable than chemistry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, cause sometimes you off. Like I'm not feeling you today. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes.
Correct.
But I think the compatibility, being able to like, hey, you know, like being able to move with each other.
Right.
You know, I think that's more sustainable long term than just chemistry.
Yeah. But, you know, also chemistry, you know, chemistry can be thrown off by compatibility. You know, it's interchangeable. Like, man. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's one of the things that's why you say when you're in the relationship, it has to continue to evolve. It can't stay the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I got a, well, not necessarily a question, but just kind of to pose a little more conversation. Like just what's been going on in y'all lives, you know, let's say over the last just couple months. You know what I'm saying? Like, how everybody doing? You know, like, yeah. I know we talk about, we pick certain topics, but I think a lot of times we have enough of ourselves on the podcast.
I agree with you. This past weekend, I was in Dallas, Texas for about 3 days. I went to celebrate my anniversary with my wife. We've been married for 6 years.
Happy anniversary, boy.
Man, congratulations, dog.
Yes, thank you. We went to a concert. The concert was nice. It was Avery Sunshine, Lila James, and Raheem Devon. We danced. We cut up.
That's dope.
We made love that was ordained by God.
Talk to him, Myron.
We went to brunch. We ate dinner. It was beautiful. It was nice. I had a good weekend.
That's dope.
Okay.
Oh,
and it was Father's Day, y'all.
I
forgot.
Yes.
Happy Father's Day.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. For sure. Happy Father. Yeah. We talk to the ladies a lot, but man, the fellas is important, man. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
This past weekend, I was in Vegas. I don't know what I was thinking. It was 117 degrees. Man, that Vegas, boy, that heat sits on your neck and it follows your feet. Boy, I tell you, that is hot out there. But yeah, I went out there and enjoyed my friend. You know, he was celebrating his birthday, and we went out there and had a good time. J5 met me out there. J5 and JC out there met me out there. So we had a we had a good old time in the mall. And Jason Young thought somebody stole his bag, but I had it under my arms. It was epic. It was funny. It was extremely funny. But other than that, I'm good, man. My daughter, you know, she just took a flight to Atlanta. Going to see my sister. She with my mom. So
that's dope.
Yeah, it's good, man. You know, my oldest boy, he called me. Like, you know, he want to make a transition in his career. I told him, do what you need to do. My middle son, he work at Chick-fil-A, you know what I'm saying? He doing his thing. He got it, you know what I'm saying? He got his first check and blew it all on technology stuff.
Hey, now hold on. Did he blow it or did he invest it?
I'm going to say this. He invested because he's a gamer. He's a gamer. Okay. And to me, he blew it because he ain't putting nothing to the side. I still had to buy him dinner.
Hey,
but he invested.
Hey, you an old school dude, man. Hey, these new guys, hey, they going all in.
Man, let me tell you about this generation. And I'm gonna tell you this, and this is whole true. I like they don't hold no fear. They not fearful of anything.
If that's facts.
They going all in. Whatever they believe in, they going all in with it, and they don't care who says something about it. And,
yeah.
And I admire that. I'd be scared for him. So when I say, you finna do all this? Yes. Okay, go and do it. You know, just gotta have his back. But I like this. This generation is fearless, man. They fearless.
Ron, let me ask you a question real quick before we move on.
Go ahead.
When I was in Vegas, did J5 keep up with y'all when y'all was walking?
Man. Hey, Byron. Let me tell you what happened, man. We used to go out to valet. We was paying the valet. So I'm at the machine. All of a sudden, Jonathan take off walking. I'm like, where you going? He just walking. I said, Jonathan, where you going? He just walking. So I finally paid for the valet, so I'm walking towards him now. He said, I said, man, why you take off walking like that? He said, man, I had to get a head start because I know you walk too fast. That boy burned about 1,000 calories. I had that boy moving.
Oh, man. That's but funny. Well, go ahead, Mike.
That's me. Go ahead, Terrell.
This past weekend, that's what happened. We had so out here in Phoenix, we had in June, all of, you know, for basketball, I'm speaking on basketball terms. We don't have no AAU or no club or nothing in June, so they do high school summer ball in June. So out here they've started, like, I think they started about 2 years ago. It's a huge tournament called the Section 7. Where they bring a lot of the teams from, if I'm not mistaken, there's 7 states out here on the West Coast, like California, Arizona, Utah, Nevada. And so they bring a lot of the top high school teams out here, and it gives them an opportunity. It gives the NCAA coaches an opportunity to actually live view, you know, these players that they're recruiting. So that was pretty cool. And then my son's team played in that, and so it was cool for him to be able to you know, play with the lights on, play in front of coaches.
Nice.
Yeah, they actually had it at the Arizona Cardinal Stadium. So they had they made like 8 or 9 different courts right in the Cardinal Stadium, so it had like a big game feel. Like, it was pretty cool. So that was good to be a part of that. And you know, my older son, he kind of moving into his, you know, he's 16, about to be 17, so he's moving into his just a different phase, man. Like, you know, he's trying to go out and just hang, you know. His best friend football team got his own car, so like, they've been hanging real tough. And so I kind of been in that space of kind of relinquishing the hold on them a little bit, but then still not trying to give them too much at one time.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, so just dealing with that in parenting, man. My middle boy, Anthony, you know, he's moving into the phase of being from a, you know, a little boy to, you know, almost a teenager. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got to monitor them, man. Like, they, you know, he's on the game a lot, but then he's also like on his computer a lot. Yeah. So, you know, like I gotta monitor, like, you know, the stuff that they watch and make sure he's not watching the wrong stuff.
Right.
And so just that's about it, man. Everything good. God is good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
All right. So yeah, let's get I guess that kind of was it, but if y'all got anything to get off your chest as we conclude, go ahead and get it off your chest.
Well, what I got to get off my chest is, y'all, I'm gaining weight. I try to put my pants on. They tight. I said,
you know what, Mark? That's funny. I did look at them. I'm like, man, Mark looked a little bigger in them pictures you posted.
Two box Popeyes, two pieces and shit.
Hey, guess what, Mark? Last night I had a 5-piece tender for Popeyes. Oh my God, it was so good. It was so good. God is good. God is good. He took away the chicken wing, but he made a chicken breast with tenders. Come on, somebody.
Oh man,
that's what I had to get off my chest.
Get off my chest. Oh, it's weird. Like, so out here in the valley in Arizona and in Vegas, the last few weeks has been super hot, like 116, 117 degrees. And then I found myself the other day, it was only like 108, 109, and it felt like a relief. And I'm thinking, how in the heck is 109 degrees a relief? And it blew my mind. Like, okay, so it's that hot that 110 is like a relief.
And did it get cooler when it hit 110?
Yeah, like I just felt, I'm like, man, it's a little cooler than it's been the last couple of weeks. And then I looked on my phone and it was like 110.
Hey, let me tell you something. That was the heat playing tricks on your mind. you was on your way to dehydration. That's what that was.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, man. But no, that's all good, man. What you gotta get off your mind, Myron? Off your chest.
Shoot, nothing really, man. Oh, what did shock me was when I was in Dallas, they put on the news that American Airlines canceled all their flights. I was like, what? That was crazy. But they said because they had a lot of call-ins, and you know, during the pandemic,
right?
They gave a lot of people buyouts, so they're right. Staff big time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. I'm so glad I'm not flying American home. Shit.
Yeah. No, that's 100% true, man. Because I work at American, so like when I'm looking up these flights, uh-huh. I'm seeing you're going, you know, and Dallas is one of the hubs for American.
Yep.
So it got everything. It got all these other flights, and like everything is overbooked. You see cancel coming out of Dallas Fort Worth. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was perfect. But yeah, fellas. All right, that's the end of our podcast. Thank you, audience, for listening. We will have another episode in a few days. My name's Myron, and we'll see you next time. Go ahead, fellas.
You want to go? Go ahead, the real.
Yeah, man, because you've been going before me the whole podcast. I don't appreciate that. Hey, this is Terrell, man. We appreciate y'all tapping in with us. Until next time, much love. Be safe.
All right, this is Lamont. I'm out. And the only reason why I went first this time, because Terrell is kind of long-winded. And his points be accurate, but it take about 10 to 15 minutes to get it all out. So let me go first because I forget what I'm going
to
say.
Hey, well, hold on. Let me apologize to the audience before we leave, because Lamont is our technical advisor, y'all. And I know we're behind a few episodes. So,
Bold D.
Somebody, hey. So you put me on blast.
Hey, I'm going to have to. I'm about to negotiate my contract. This network is terrible. This is a poorly run company.
Hey, Byron, I got you, bro. I got you, bro. Hey, for real, you don't worry about it. All right, fellas, we out.
All right. We out.